We've got something a little different for you now. Janet Wash, one of our readers, has sent me this article from the Daily Express from Monday, April the 27th, which she thought you might be interested in. And the headline is Dale of Tears. It was the shock that hit us so hard. There we were, everything going along swimmingly. Economy booming, the most prosperous and fortunate generation ever to have lived. Then quite suddenly, almost out of nowhere, we found ourselves in the middle of what is essentially a medieval plague. Quarantine, social isolation, unheard of restrictions of movement. How can this possibly be? But one village, sheltering within the Derbyshire Dales, situated in the beautiful Peak District, might be forgiven for allowing itself a rueful look at the rest of us, because Eam was one of the most high-profile and tragic victims of the 1665 outbreak of the Great Plague. It's not been forgotten. Every August, the village hosts a Plague Sunday, a commemorative service. Will it go ahead this year? Only time will tell. The story of Eam is harrowing, but it is also an uplifting tale in many ways, because the villagers made a great many sacrifices, just as we are being asked to do today. The story started in August 1665, when the plague had already taken hold in London, then, as now, the centre of the disease. Despite this, the local tailor, Alexander Hadfield, sent his assistant, George Vickers, to the capital to buy cloth samples. Shortly after his return, Vickers was dead. The date was September the 3rd, 1665, and while accounts vary, it is said that the cloth had become wet on the journey back from London, and Vickers spread it out by the fire to dry. This released the fleas that spread the disease. Vickers was the first of many. Within 3 weeks, six more were dead, out of a village numbering 344. By the end of the year, another 42 were gone. Then the deaths seemed to level out. But in an eerie reflection of today, in which places like Hong Kong seem to have got on top of the coronavirus and began to relax restrictions, only to see it flare up again, the people of Eam had a remarkably similar experience. The following May, there were another two deaths, and those who could began to leave the village for safer climes. The Reverend William Mompesson, the village's rector, sent his children to stay in Sheffield. His wife Catherine stayed with him, and paid with her life. Then, as now, villagers began to wear masks, in their case stuffed with herbs. The plague was running rampant throughout the village. A full panic began. It's not clear whether the villagers knew by this time their own fate was sealed, but they certainly realised that it was imperative to stop the plague spreading beyond Eam, and so took actions, the bravery of which can be admired to this day. There was no epidemiologist to give advice. That was left to two men of the cloth, the Reverend Mompesson and his predecessor, the Reverend Thomas Stanley, who had previously been ousted because of his strong Puritan views. The two men persuaded the villagers to accept strict quarantine. They built a stone perimeter wall, half a mile away from the village. No one, including those without symptoms, was to be allowed to go beyond it until the village was entirely free of plague. Just as now, neighbours, in this case neighbouring villages, left food parcels for the villagers to collect by the wall. They were paid in money left out for them that had been soaked in vinegar, believed to protect against plague. They started socially isolating, although it wasn't called that by that name back then. Church services were moved from the beautiful Norman Church of St Lawrence to the nearby natural amphitheatre of Coquelet Delph, which meant that villagers could stand separately, thus lessening the spread of the disease. Other measures were put in place. Initially, victims of the plague were buried in the churchyard, but as fatalities started to mount, they were buried close to where they died to stop the disease spreading further. It worked, but at a terrible price. The last death was on November the 1st, 1666. A total of 260 of the population of 344 died, a far higher death rate than London, which was thought to have lost a quarter of its population to the disease. To this day, the cottages that housed the victims still stand, known as plague cottages. They are marked with green plaques listing the family members who died. Other strange similarities to today's crisis also exist. There are some claims today that smokers are less likely to get the coronavirus. Back then, it was thought that the survivors' tobacco intake was what brought them through. It is now believed that they had a resistant chromosome. And just as we do not yet know why COVID-19 kills some people, but affects others so harmlessly that they do not even experience symptoms, so the same was true of the plague. Marshall Howe became the unofficial gravedigger, and despite handling numerous bodies, he survived. So did Elizabeth Hancock, unlike her husband and six children, who died within 8 days. The people of Eme are rightly celebrated for the breathtaking sacrifice they made. Today, the enchanting village is a tourist destination where you can see the plague stones, remnants of the boundary wall, and visit Catherine Mompesson's grave in the churchyard. Every year on Plague Sunday, a wreath is laid on it. We can only pray that it will happen again this year.